Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Welcome to episode 21 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell. Hi.
Hello. Yes, we're having a great time today because WrinkledNotDead.com has all kinds of new content on the blog. All of our episodes are found there. Contact us at WrinkledNotDead@gmail.com if you have any kind of comments at all. That's our email address. Our Twitter link is at WrinkledNotDead. And I want to thank all the folks around the world for listening in. Again, kind of a potpourri of the countries that we are in. The USA, of course, Canada, the UK, Ghana, Philippines, Turkey, Dominican Republic, Germany. Hello, Germany. Big swell in numbers there. I don't know
why,
but we welcome. In Mexico, Australia, and Poland as well.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
So we can continue to bring you free content. We please ask if you could share this podcast with your friends. Ask them to go online, go straight to our WrinkledNotDead.com blog or to the podcast on your app or iTunes and subscribe for free, listen for free. And if you can give us 5 stars, that would be absolutely tremendous.
Absolutely
right.
Word
of mouth is what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. Any kind of podcast. Listen in. It's all fun for everybody. We're in self-help because we're getting older now and there are challenges to getting older. And we want to be there to help people to achieve the very best that they can be in their entire lives, no matter what age. We've been married for 32 years and we're doing this because we absolutely love it. So let's go on with, we have a great show today, don't we? I am just so stoked about the segment that's coming up.
We're so excited. We actually have, I think, 2 roses and 2 thorns.
Oh, the rose and thorn segment. Okay, 2 roses. All right, I did the rose last week, so.
Okay, the rose for me is we both went for our blood tests. I am going in for eye surgery on October the 5th, and my blood test came back very, very good.
Yeah.
I was excited that everything was good. The only problem is my cholesterol had gone up a little bit. Not bad, but a little bit. And I was famous for having low cholesterol. But since going through menopause, Dr. Agostino, our family physician, said that when women go through menopause at the end, they no longer have the hormones, the estrogen and all that, to support their lower cholesterol. And our cholesterol tends to go up a little bit. So all I'm doing now is sort of cutting out eggs and doing more egg whites if I can, cutting back on cheese, just a little bit here and there.
It's awareness kind of, isn't it?
It is an awareness. So even though my blood test was great, I'm good. I'm cleared to go for surgery. That is one thing I wanted to bring to everyone's attention who's gone through menopause or past menopause.
Okay. Well, that's 1 rose. You said you had 2 roses.
Well, let's hear your thorn first.
Oh, really? We're going to... Okay.
My thorn,
let's go back to exactly... I'm trying to weasel out of it, but I'm on statins for cholesterol control. I have been for so long. And I thought, Mr. Braveheart here, well, let's see if you go off the statins and kind of take the fish oil and a few other... supplements and see if it'll do, and exercise and see if it'll come down to where it should be all on its own. It doesn't.
I told you.
I know you told
32
me.
32 years of marriage and you still don't listen to me.
So did Dr. Agostino. He said, oh yeah, the old experiment. Hey, all my patients do this. Guess what? It's not going to work. And the blood test came back and it did not work. So if your physician, well, put it this way, don't become your own physician. If your physician says you need to be on statins or any other drug for that matter to control some sort of condition, believe them. Okay, so that's my thought.
I think with the internet and Google, we think we become our own physician because we look it all up and we think we know more than the doctors. And clearly we don't. There's a reason why they went to medical school for years and years and years.
Well,
and
came out with a lot of debt. Dr. Agostino is wrinkled, not dead as well. So he's seen everything and he's seen me plenty. So he gave me kind of a whooping on that one, but I deserved it. Okay, other rose.
So the other rose is that we had a wonderful dinner with friends last night, and I want to thank them, Grace and Elaine. Elaine actually will be coming up on our next podcast. We interviewed her for World War II from the United States side. She was 13 when the war broke out, and I am so excited to present that to everybody next week. Because this week we were finishing off part A and B. This is part B of skincare. And so many people have written in about skincare. We were flooded last week. And that's why we're continuing it this week with a wonderful gal called Claire Long. And she is my esthetician. I've been going to have facials and my eyebrows waxed and tinted. She is so knowledgeable. So we called her up and she prepared like you wouldn't believe for this
she
podcast.
She had a binder full of notes. I mean, I think, and she told us too that she was up till like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning preparing for our interview. I was so honored and overcome with gratitude because she did so much work, and she's a very busy lady. She's got kids, and oh my gosh.
She's a mother of two young boys and a wonderful wife and a great friend. And so I want to thank Claire Long, and we'll talk a lot about how to reach her if you're here locally, if you want to go and see her. But that's kind of my rose for this week, and that's coming up in a minute.
Okay, so I was going to do the segment on procrastination because I punted it down the road last week, didn't I?
Yes.
So shall we do it? No. Let's leave it till next week because I can't wait to get to the segment with Claire Long.
Yeah, we ran out of time, but only because so many people last week loved Trish.
Oh, yeah.
Just loved what she was saying. She was the nurse that spoke about skincare from being a nurse's side point of view, neonatal unit, children. We talked about water, you name it, how important it is for skin. And now we're looking at from the esthetician side, who is so equally knowledgeable.
So we have a huge scope coming up for you. If it's not only about Wrinkled Not Dead, folks. This is about kids, about acne, about, I mean, you could go on and on and on. But
yes,
the best way to do it is just say, let's take it away, Claire Long.
We're so excited to talk about skincare today because actually we're wrinkled, not dead. So many people have asked us about the wrinkled side of our podcast here. And we have a very special guest today. Her name is Claire.
Who has very few wrinkles, but does know things about everybody has skin. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, Claire, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and why you're here today.
All right. Well, my name is Claire, and I have been doing skincare for the last almost 17 years. And I am 42 years old with two young children, and life is exhausting, and we get tired, and we get busy, and sometimes, most of the time, we start to forget to take care of ourselves. And our skin is a very big deal, and we need to be aware of the largest organ in our body and pay attention to it.
Are you a Southern California native?
I am not. I was born in San Francisco, and I lived there for the first 13 years, and then we moved to Seattle. I came here on vacation when I was 20, and I fell in love with it, and I never left.
Well, then the sun, you know all about the sun.
I do. Yeah. I grew up in the gray, and now I live in the sun.
So what made you decide to get involved with skincare?
Actually, it's a funny story. I started off my career in corporate America, and then I met my husband, and we were dating, and he said, I love you, and I would love to marry you someday, but there's a good chance that you'll have to work, and you do not love what you do. I think you should go back to school for what you love. And so I did. I went back to school, actually, for cosmetology, which was hair, skin, and nails. And out of the 1,600-hour course, 1,200 hours in, they finally hit the skin portion, and that's where I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Right away. I'm so interested in
yes,
this.
I actually became a beauty school dropout, and I went back just for the skincare portion.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So what was it about skin as opposed to hair or makeup?
You only get one chance at it, and especially our face. Oh, you can't hide your face, and our skin is so important, and everybody sees our face every day. You can't hide behind it. You can wear makeup. You can grow your hair long, but it is what it is. It's your skin, and it's your face, and I just think it's fascinating, and there's so much to it, and we can be mean to it, but it will still bounce back if we do the right things. So
forgive you a bit?
It will forgive you quite a bit.
Oh. Well, particularly when I come to see you, you help my forgiveness.
We are in your salon, after all.
So. How soon should someone start thinking about skincare?
Well, it's never too early to start thinking about skincare. My boys are 6 and 8, and they're very, very fair, and I've been putting sunscreen on them for years, and I already teach them to wash their face and to be aware, but I think that is our job as adults to teach the younger generations about skincare and just being aware of the sun and of taking care of our face and cleaning our skin on a regular basis.
So even when you're young, it's important to get that skin cleansed before going to bed at night.
Absolutely. Huh. And at a young age, you'll even see on little kids, and elementary school kids all the time, I see them starting to get the enlarged pores and just the little things on their nose. Mm-hmm. And so it's never too early to just teach them good hygiene and about sunscreen and about the sun, especially living in Southern California or in so many other parts of the world where we are exposed to a lot of the elements.
And the sun, they say, is getting stronger now.
Absolutely.
UV rays are getting stronger. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Gosh, as wrinkled kids. I mean, back in, we're talking, I was born in 1951. Our parents just sort of shoved us outside and away you went. The idea of having skincare products anything to block the sun, sunscreens, pretty much unheard of.
Oh, absolutely. Even when I was growing up, we would lay out with baby oil and iodine. We would do everything we could to get sun and to get tan. And
wow.
And now we're paying for it. We can see the repercussions.
Yeah, absolutely.
My mother said back in the old days, they used to put kids in their little
prams,
they called them, and stick them out in the sun. I mean, babies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we do need vitamin D. Vitamin D is an integral part of what our body needs. But there's other ways we can get it.
So
not necessarily laying out in the sun all day.
So if you were to go out in the sun at all, how much exposure should you get?
Well, everybody's different. It depends on your skin texture and tone. Everybody's skin color is different. Generally speaking, the lighter the skin, the quicker you're going to burn.
Mm-hmm.
But we do need vitamin D, and to get outside and to get the fresh air, that is really important. But that's a hard question to answer, because I could go outside without sunscreen for 30 minutes and I guarantee that I will get too much sun.
Yeah, and I have a friend who goes out for 2 hours and it's fine.
Absolutely.
So the oils, I guess, in the skin or whatever.
Yeah, and again, it depends on your skin tone and texture and the color and how thick your skin is. There's so many different variables.
What is the worst things for the skin other than sun?
Some of the worst things for the skin, obviously UV rays. But we also have to think about our diet. A lot of processed foods and sugars.
Oh.
Sadly, that means wine also.
Don't say that.
I'm saying in moderation.
We're losing listeners by the thousands right now.
No, everything in moderation.
Oh, okay, all right.
So sugar's a really bad one, huh?
Sugars and processed foods, they promote a lot of inflammation, and it creates a biochemical process that damages the production of our dermal cells. And so we need to be very aware of what we put inside of our body, just as much of what we put on top of our body. Our skincare products that we put on are equally as important as what we put inside of our body.
Huh. So basically it's sun exposure probably number one, and number two is what we eat.
Yeah, and also environment, elements.
True.
Our skin is the largest organ. It needs water. Water, water, water. We need to keep it hydrated. We need to keep our body hydrated, and then we need to keep our skin hydrated also. So if we are putting a ton of our moisturizers and everything on our skin, but we're not drinking a lot of water, your skin's still going to get dehydrated. And vice versa. You can drink a ton of water, but not be taking care of your skin from the outside, and it will still suffer.
So again, you're looking at that fine balance.
Absolutely.
I have a question about alkaline water. Would that be better for your skin, or does it not matter, just any kind of water?
I don't know. There's a lot of debate about that. I personally generally drink more alkaline water, and in my facials, in my steamer and everything, I will use a more alkaline water. But I don't think that there is enough proof either way saying that just using alkaline water on your face is a make it or break it.
People have asked me this, it's not in the questions here, but vitamins. What kind of vitamins for the skin? Everybody's asked us that.
Well, and everybody's different. So you could line up 10 people, and even if they have the same chief complaint about their skin, whether it's aging, that their skin is aging, what can they do for it? Everybody's different because our genetic makeup is different. What our dietary needs are different, but vitamin D is always a big one because our skin does need vitamin D. Our body needs vitamin D, but we don't necessarily want to expose ourselves to too many UV rays.
Mm-hmm.
Fish oils, There's a ton of different supplements, and
fish oil is good for
Yeah, and any of the omega.
I know it's good for cholesterol and things, but I didn't think about it as something for skin.
Yeah, and on a different note, that's why it's also really good for animals, because it helps with their skin.
Mm-hmm. That is so interesting, mm-hmm. because you just never know. There's so many things out there about skincare. It gets confusing.
Absolutely.
So that is why we love having you here.
I've done this for a long time, and it still gets confusing, and people will come to me all the time with this product or this new latest and greatest, and it can be very overwhelming.
I know you're not a physician, but the reality is, in your business, you've seen tens of thousands of people's skin.
Yes, absolutely.
And so just from the evidence that you have, you get to learn so much and finally kind of form very strong opinions because of the number of people you've seen with different afflictions,
sure.
I guess, or irregularities.
Sure, huh? Absolutely. Yeah, and it's beneficial when I have a client that I see on a regular basis, uh-huh. because I know their skin well, and I know their face, and I know their neck, and I know what moles they have and what irregular skin issues they have, and so that's easier for me to monitor. I'm not a doctor, but I do see their skin very up close and personal with my amazing magnifying glass. And
that sounds scary.
And so finds everything.
I do. I'm extremely picky, but there have been plenty of occasions where I will see something that may look slightly different or a little bit irregular, and I'll tell my client that they need to be aware of
that.
So
you're referring to some sorts of skin cancers, huh?
Potentially,
yeah.
Yes. And, you know, we all have to look out for each other. We can't always check behind our own ear or underneath our chin. And, you know, sometimes when we look at ourselves every single day, we don't notice the changes, the subtle changes.
True.
So I think it's really important that we give ourselves a skin check. Every month is a good idea. And if you have one that is questionable, I had a dermatologist that started taking pictures of a mole or of a discolored patch that she was concerned about. And so then a month later or 2 months later when I would go back, she could take another picture and she could reference the two. And I think that's a great way that people can kind of keep an eye on their own skin concerns.
Well, that's kind of an interesting point because, you know, I might go to a dermatologist once a year, but some of your clients are here perhaps once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see in up close and personal the development of kind of irregularities.
Absolutely.
And then give the warning sign.
Yeah. And again, I'm not a doctor. I would never try to scare anybody into setting off alarm bells, but there have definitely been occasions where I'll see something and I'll advise them to follow up with their dermatologist or their doctor at the next available appointment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I come to you regularly for facials, and you are the best. I mean, you get in there and you dig those pores out, and I'm hanging on for dear life, but you do. I mean, at the end, it's so wonderful, and in the end, you give this beautiful massage, so it's kind of like this is your gift for letting you dig out the pores.
Yes, I have to end on a good note. I can't be mean the whole time.
Well, you are relentless, but you really do the best facials. So that leads me to my next question. How often and why should we have facials?
Again, that depends on the person. In a perfect world, every 4 to 6 weeks is ideal for women to get facials, or men, or children. And we want to boost the cell renewal. We want to clean out the pores. We want to exfoliate, take off that top dead layer of skin, bring the new skin to the surface. That's a great anti-aging tool. Everybody's different. I will have clients that start as young teenagers, and we're just trying to teach them good skincare regimen and good cleanliness and good hygiene. And then I get some older teenagers that have a lot of skin issues, and so they might have to come more often until we can get their skin under control and get it clean and less sensitive so they can move forward with a regular routine. And then the majority of my clients are over 30, and it's mostly anti-aging. And so it goes back to about every 4 to 6 weeks is ideal. I have some people that come more often and some people that push it out longer than that.
So is cleaning out the pores and all that does that help with anti-aging?
It does help with anti-aging, but it also helps. You have to get those pores clean. We have pores. We have thousands of pores all over our skin. That's how our skin breeze, and but those pores do fill up with dirt and makeup and sweat and pollution. And so in order to for those to breathe and for your skin to be at its best, we have to get those pores clean so that they can start to go back down to the natural size that they are supposed to be. And after we get them nice and cleaned out, then we can exfoliate and take off those top dead layers of skin.
Okay, got it. Interesting.
I just have to ask a question that's off the list of things that we wanted, but you're so fascinating with this. We do have younger listeners, and is it a regular occurrence, or every now and again you'll get somebody, a younger person with acne that comes in?
Oh, I see it a lot. And I think that it's a number of things. I think that parents and adults are more aware of their children's skin. I think that when I was growing up, it was just, oh, you're a teenager. All teenagers get acne. That's actually not correct. A lot of the time it's a hormonal issue. It can also be environmental. Tons of my teenage clients, they play sports and they sweat. And that sweat dries onto their skin and it clogs the pores and they get more congestion. It's a slippery slope. So I have a lot of younger clients that come in for acne.
So is acne basically just trying to keep it clean?
Yeah.
And that will help clear it up if it's not hormonal.
Yes, and even if it is hormonal, I feel like with acne, it's a sensitivity issue also. And I feel like too many times people will go and buy all of the anti-acne medications and cleansers and potions and masks, and they can be really harsh on the skin, and it creates a sensitivity. You're drying out the skin too much when you're using too many acids and too many retinols, especially in that young, sensitive skin. Mm-hmm. And so it will dry it out topically, but then your skin thinks that it's dry, so it starts to produce more oil. So it's a vicious cycle. So I very much believe in a very simple regimen for kids and teenagers. Keep it clean. I'll clean it out, and then you keep it clean at home. And we don't need 10 different products to be using.
Great.
Because that's a big thing, is the products. If there's too many products, I just overload and I don't do anything. I keep it simple, right?
Absolutely. I think it's really overwhelming if there's too many things, and it's very costly. And honestly, I have a really busy life, and if it's not short and simple, if it's not a minute and a half, I'm probably not going to do it. And that's kind of my expectation level for my clients as well.
This is a loaded question. People ask me, when do you actually see visible signs of aging? Around what age generally?
Generally, I think it's different for everybody, and I think it goes back to your skin tone, your skin color, thickness, but generally, early 30s.
Wow, that quick?
Oh, yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So you slowly start seeing the little fine lines when people come in.
Yes, you start to notice the pigmentation, the fine lines. If they've been in the sun a lot, they start to lose the collagen and elasticity a little bit quicker.
That's sad. It's so quick.
It is sad. It absolutely. But that's, again, that goes back to why it is so important for us to teach the younger generations about being aware of these things so that they can do preventative things now, whereas a lot of us in our 40s and 50s and 60s, we're trying to repair what we've already done.
Of course.
And these younger generations, they can do preventative action so that they don't have to deal with a lot of the things that we're now having to go back and try to correct.
Well, and back in our days, people smoked because they thought it was kind of okay. And tell us about smoking and skin.
It's terrible.
it's like the killer.
I don't even have to ask a client if they smoke or not. I can generally see it around their lip lines. They tend to have a lot more lines, and it's dehydration from the skin. And a lot of times when I start cleaning the skin, you can smell it.
Come out of the skin?
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Absolutely.
So it seeps into the pores.
Absolutely.
And there's carcinogens, clearly,
yes,
in smoke.
Yeah, it's really toxic. And fortunately, we live in a society that is much more aware of how dangerous that is for our body, but it doesn't stop inside. It is also very damaging to the outside also.
That is so. I have a friend who has pigmentation, and it looks like a mustache, mm-hmm. and she's a young gal.
It's hormonal.
That is hormonal. Is there anything they can do, or do they actually need to go to a doctor on that one?
There are things that they can do, and they would benefit from going to a doctor. That is referred to as a pregnancy mask. Even if it has nothing to do with pregnancy, it is hormonal. And it usually strikes above the upper lip or across the forehead. And I had a friend in my mid to late 20s, and she had such a bad pregnancy mask across her forehead that a boy that we know thought that she had a little bit of dirt on her forehead. And it wasn't. It was just such bad pigmentation. So hormonally, it is harder to treat than if it is developed from environment, from too much sun and everything. But you can do a bleach cream, and you would want to do generally prescription strength. The over-the-counter bleach creams, they're not strong enough to get in there and to help lift that pigmentation.
So then go to the dermatologist and get a prescription strength.
Yeah, and generally speaking, the ingredient that you're looking for is a 4% hydroquinone.
Okay.
Over-the-counter is 2%, and for most people, that would be a waste of your time. But if you're diligent and you use the 4% hydroquinone and you use it every day, you will start to notice a difference. And it starts off by lightening the existing pigmentation on the top layers. But after continued use, it will soak down through the layers, down to your dermis, and it prevents the new skin that's coming up from taking on that existing pigmentation.
That is so.
Wow, what a terrific answer.
Isn't that great? You were so knowledgeable.
You were really good.
Does that equal to old age spots? Can you do the same thing?
You can do the same thing. And over time, we start to get more pigmentation. Sometimes it will be a generalized area where we get more pigmentation, mm-hmm. and sometimes it'll be a very noticeable spot. But it's the same type of treatment. And there's other things you can do. Microdermabrasion can help, and dermaplaning, where you take off those top layers of skin, and IPLs, photofacials, which are lasers, those can all help. All of those are taking off those top layers of skin and bringing the new skin up to the surface.
And can that all be done, like, with you in here, or do you have to go to a dermatologist?
Estheticians cannot do lasers.
Okay.
You would have to go to a registered nurse or a dermatologist or any type of doctor. They can do the lasers. But I would start off with, if you want to start off at home, I would start off with the bleach cream, because doing that and you doing that consistently for at least 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to get better results with any of the other procedures.
It's so weird. When you get old, you get dark spots, and then you get areas on, like, my arm here that has no pigment.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because you can hyperpigment or you can hypopigment. Either the melanin that we get, that turns our skin dark, or it bleaches it out and we get the white spots.
From the skin?
Which are worse.
The white ones, is that from sun?
I'm looking at them now.
It can be from sun, it can be from environmental, but it's just another way that your skin can react. And when we lose that pigmentation altogether, we don't get that back.
Now, that I just noticed as I started turning, I'm going to be 60 in October. So I noticed that this year, that little bit of white bits on my arms.
Yes. Well, you're doing better than me, because I'm in my early 40s and I already have them on my, I already have them on my lower legs. And that was from, I had a couple of really, really bad sunburns where I did not get my sunscreen on all the way. And I would get it everywhere except for, like, right down that front center of my shin. And those are some of the areas that I have those little white spots forming.
So that comes from sun, too. So this could have been sunburn back in the day when the baby oil.
It can absolutely be.
Yeah. So put your sunscreen on.
Oh, absolutely. And sunscreen can take up to 30 minutes to start working. So you don't put your sunscreen on when you get to the beach. You don't put your sunscreen on when you're shoving your kids out the door to go to school. You put your sunscreen on after you brush your teeth, when you're getting ready in the morning.
Well, that's very important information.
Mm-hmm. Is there a special sunscreen for your face as opposed to your body?
They always have sunscreens that they recommend for the face. There's been a lot of controversy over sunscreens lately with a lot of the ingredient list, and the companies that are on the bad list of sunscreens is rapidly growing. They say that getting a zinc, you don't want one with a lot of the carcinogens. And so I do use a specific one for the face for my kids and for myself. But you have to find one that also works for you, that doesn't make you break out.
Like PABA, is that okay? I mean, I've seen shows where they say, I don't want pop in my sunscreen. And
yeah, and I think that it can be really clogging and heavy on the skin.
Okay. So again, it's finding, maybe actually going to someone like you and having you help me find the right kind of sunscreen for my kind of skin.
Yes, and again, it's very, very case specific. You know, you could line up 10 different sunscreens and 10 different people will each choose a different one. So it's very, very specific to what you like. And if it sits well on your skin, doesn't make you too oily, you know, doesn't make you break out, that's the biggest thing.
Okay. Okay, before I go on, dark circles under eyes. I have dark circles. Everybody's asked, what can we do about it? Because it makes you look so tired and old.
Yes. So dark circles is a very big thing. And I actually had to do a lot of research on dark circles a few years ago because I have had dark circles. But my younger son, he was starting to get dark circles also. And he's too young to be getting that. And they can be hereditary. A lot of times if a parent has it or grandparent, you know, we can tend to be more prone to dark circles. But one of the biggest things for dark circles is actually allergies. And so it can be environmental allergies and food allergies.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Even as you get older, that could be too?
Oh, absolutely.
Because actually they say as you get older, you get...
You can trigger more allergies also. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So ironically, my younger son and I, we both tend to have a lot of environmental allergies. But we also have had a lot of ear, nose, and throat problems. So I did a test. I took both of us off of dairy. And both of our dark circles, his dark circles completely went away. And mine improved hugely. So that's a big thing that people should look at is allergies. It can also be from being tired. It can also be from pigmentation as we get older. That's such thin skin. So if some of that skin starts to take on a little bit of pigmentation, it's going to be a lot more noticeable there. And also as we get older, that skin thins and we get loss of fat and loss of collagen. And so we can see through it a lot more.
It's more vulnerable then.
Absolutely.
So if it's allergies, then what do? It's sort of process of elimination. Kind
yes.
Of. So it's a
you
long
You don't take haul. It. Yes, it's a long process. Mm-hmm. And you don't take everything. If you're worried about food allergies, you can't take all of your foods out at one time because you don't know what it is. So take out dairy.
First.
Try that
okay.
for 30 days. If that's not it, then slowly add that back in, and then you can go on to the next
okay.
thing. And if you have real concerns about allergies, whether they're environmental or food allergies, your doctor can also help you with diagnosing and doing some allergy testing on you if you don't choose to go through the whole process of eliminating it yourself.
Now, for someone like me, who I think it's hereditary, my dad had dark mm-hmm. circles, is there anything I can do for my dark circles with creams?
Sure. There's creams that you can use that will help with that. You can also do some lymphatic drainage because we get a lot of fluid that builds up underneath our eye. And again, we have that thinner skin, and so you can see that fluid. And so you can go to a massage therapist or a lot of estheticians that know lymphatic drainage, and they can teach you how to do the lymphatic drainage massage on yourself to help push that fluid through. And now I know what we'll be working on at your next appointment.
So it's a massage, lymphatic drainage.
It
I
is.
Thought it
it's
was some
very,
kind of needle or
no,
something.
It's very, very, very gentle. Very, very gentle pressure, very gently moving that fluid through and out.
I've only now, in the last maybe two years, have heard anything about lymphatic system mm-hmm. in that way. And it's not now. The awareness of that has grown dramatically, hasn't
absolutely.
It?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, it's huge, actually. My massage therapist, who Jen actually also sees, she, when I was having a lot of my, I had sinus surgery, and I was having a lot of sinus issues. Prior to my surgery, she started doing lymphatic drainage on me. And the first time she did it on my face, she did one half of my face and left the other half of my mm-hmm. face so I could see it. And it was alarming, the difference. The side that she did looked 100 times better. The side that she had left alone, you could see darker circles. I was puffier. I was just, I looked older and more tired. It was really fascinating.
That is, so is it around the face where they do the massaging?
Yeah, well, we have tons of lymph nodes, and so you can do lymphatic drainage, but it is. When she did mine, she did it all across my face, and it is extremely, extremely gentle touch.
So you not only relax, you drain at the same time. You're getting double duty.
Exactly. Some sort of sewage system for the skin.
It's
pretty fascinating, though.
Yeah.
So if people want to try that, they just call their dermatologist or they call their facialists like you.
Yeah, a lot of estheticians will be trained in lymphatic drainage, but I would specifically ask that before you book your appointment.
Okay.
And they might want some extra time. To do lymphatic drainage, but most massage therapists should also be trained in that.
Okay.
And that's something that they could also help you with.
Well, now I know what I want when I get back. One thing, too, before we leave sun, tanning beds, are they okay for the skin? That's mm-hmm. questions.
No.
Why?
No, because they're still UV rays. They still have UVA, UVB rays, and they're not good for the skin. And people say that they should get a base tan before they go places, but that is not any more beneficial than when you go out of town and you see the real sun. Except you're not getting any vitamin D from the tanning bed, and those rays, the UVA and UVB, they cause a lot of damage, and those can lead to cancer. Tanning beds are going to cause premature aging, wrinkles, age spots. And over tanning will change the texture of your skin. It dehydrates it. So if somebody's going to Hawaii or Mexico or somewhere tropical, I would just as soon get a quick spray tan, fake your tan, and it's okay to get some sun when you go on your vacation. Just wear your sunscreen and be smart, wear your hat. But I'm not a fan of tanning beds.
Are spray tans okay for your skin?
Spray tans are much better for your skin uh-huh. than a real tan. DHA is the main ingredient for all self-tanning, and it is FDA approved externally. It is not FDA approved internally. So we have to be aware when we go for a spray tan, if we have the person doing it on us or if we go in the booth, either way, there's all these particles floating around and spraying on us. And so we have to be aware we should cover our eyes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they should always have protective eyewear for you. They also say that you need to be aware of your nose because you can inhale it. Mm-hmm. You should be wearing some type of lip balm to protect your lips from it.
Oh.
And also your privates, anywhere where there's a potential
invasion
to your body. So you might want to wear a bikini bottom, or a lot of spray tan places will have the little disposable panties or whatnot. So, and you want good ventilation.
So don't go into a booth, let's say, with no underwear on or something.
Yes,
kind.
And
need
I mean
to protect
that's a,
that area.
That's up to each person, but mm-hmm. I would definitely be concerned about the nose and the eyes mm-hmm. and the areas where it has very easy access through your nose.
Okay,
and through your mouth.
So how would you cover your nose?
You can get little plugs for your nose, and then it won't affect your tan at all.
Oh, perfect.
It just doesn't allow it to go up through your nose. And again, if you get a spray tan on occasion, I don't think that that's going to be a big issue. But if you get a spray tan every single week, or if you're somebody that does spray tans for people, you need to be aware of those things and just be careful. And there's also tons of other, they have tan towels that you can get at the beauty supplies. And if you need to have tan legs, but you don't want
That's
to expose yourself, that there's tons of different options out there that are just purely external. And you can do that. It's a quick fix and it's easy.
Do you have to exfoliate before you do any kind of
You
tan?
Should. You'll,
okay.
you'll get a much better spray tan. Mm-hmm. You should exfoliate first. Do a salt or sugar scrub in the shower prior to getting your spray tan or your tan towel or whatever type of artificial tan you get. And you want to take off those top layers of skin and have that skin be nice and clean. You don't want to put any lotions or any other barriers on. And then after your tan, to preserve it, you need to keep your skin hydrated because it will tend to dry out. So after the first 12 to 24 hours of your spray tan, load up on the lotion. Keep your legs and your arms and everything really, really hydrated, and drink water because your spray tan will last a lot longer that way.
So if you exfoliate and shave your legs or whatever, mm-hmm. you would do that like 24 hours before.
Yeah, you can even do it. If I get a spray tan during the day, I'll take a shower that morning and shave and everything. Do not put any lotion or anything on. Get my spray tan. Then you have to let it stay on for X amount of hours. Every place is different. It's generally 6 or 8 hours, and then you can shower it off.
Okay, so the towelettes are great. I understand that if you're going into a booth, get the little thing for your nose, like swimming plug, you know, when you go swimming, nose plugs, correct?
Yes.
Put something on your lips, keep your mouth closed, and cover your downstairs area.
Yes, and they should have some protective stuff for your eyes, too. I mean, obviously keep your eyes closed, but they should also have some type of little protective eyewear for you.
Okay, great, because that's a big one, because a lot of people are doing more spray tans now.
Yes, and it is definitely the better option than the real sun.
And so you have wonderful skin. Tell us about that.
Well, thank you. Well, I think that skin is a number of things. I think that genetics is big. I think people have good skin, or they tend to have skin that doesn't age as well. I'm fortunate that my mom has nice skin, and my mom doesn't do anything for her skin, and it kills me as an esthetician that she still does not take care of her skin. So she's very fortunate that she naturally has good skin. But I was not raised knowing anything about skincare or taking care of it. It was something that interested me, and I started to learn about it in my 20s. So I never took care of my skin until then. I was not that good to my skin. I used to go in tanning beds. I used to lay out. But granted, I lived in San Francisco and Seattle, where there's not a lot of sun, so I took advantage whenever I could. But I would also get some pretty wicked burns. So ever since my mid-20s, I've been diligent about just keeping it clean, using good products. I'm aware of the sun. I have kids that play sports. I'm out in the sun. I wear a hat. I wear sunscreen. I wear my big glasses. And I get my facials, and I try to eat good and get a good amount of sleep.
So we're here in your beautiful studio, and
it's very calm in here.
If you come in here, everybody, if you're local, you can tell them how to reach you. But
it'll be on our blog as well.
And it's going to be on our blog, but it's beautiful. It's very calming. Mm-hmm. There's essential oils going. There's a chandelier. I mean, it's so pretty. You may hear some people talking out in the hallway, but that's because we're here and recording actually in your studio. So for those of who want to reach you in San Diego and want to come and have facials, what else do you do other than facials?
I do facials. I do waxing and tweezing. I do a lot of eyebrows.
Okay, I have to say, your eyebrows are the best. I just want to say, I used to go to a dermatologist. I went all over town to have my eyebrows waxed, and every single time, within 24 hours, they got so swollen, my eyes were nearly shut, and then it would peel. Claire, I swear, you are the only one that I can come and get my eyebrows done, because it doesn't do that.
I remember the drama of all that.
Yeah, I even went to a dermatologist.
It was, I mean, really something.
And it didn't work. So tell me, how come?
Well, everybody's different, but I have very sensitive skin, so I've always been very aware of taking precautions and being gentle and nice, and I've searched for many years for a wax that I am happy with, and so I use an aloe cream wax on the face. It's, in my opinion, it's the most delicate and gentle wax that still removes the hair, but it doesn't aggravate and irritate the skin as much. And but everybody's different. I mean, it could be medications. It could be that the wax was too hot. I mean, there's a number of reasons why people have issues with waxing, but I could take an hour segment for that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Brows are a big deal, though. They make a very big statement on our face, and people don't notice their brows until they have good brows, and then they realize how bad their brows really were, and then they start noticing everybody else's. So brows are another thing that, you know, we got to take care of them, and don't over tweeze them, and don't let your friend or your big sister do your brows for you. That's a bad choice.
Well, and you also color my brows because they are going gray now.
I do. I do tint on the brows. And a lot of times we have less to work with, or we have lost some of the length in our brows or the arch. And so even if we still have those little blonde fuzzies, those little tiny blonde, it's called vellum. We have vellum everywhere, but if we have some of those little blonde fuzzy hairs, if we add a little bit of color to those, then it helps give the illusion of a longer and thicker brow.
Yeah, I love the way you do brows. So you do facials, brows, waxing for lip too?
Yes, yeah. Okay. For women, I'll do most body waxing as well. Okay. And I do microdermabrasion, and I do chemical peels. And I usually advise people to just come in and get just a facial first. And then we can always look at your skin, get it nice and clean, and decide where we're going to go from there. Because there's so many different routes that we can take. And your skin is always changing. So it's never going to be exactly the same. You don't come in and get the exact same facial.
Well, what I liked about you, too, is so many facialists wanted to do the steam. And when they put the steam on my face, I feel like claustrophobic. And you said, we don't need the steam. We've got other products in place of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are certain clients that definitely benefit from having the steam. If they have a lot of extractions and if they're really deep and you need to work hard to open up those pores. But then there's other people that's not as big of a necessity. And the most important thing is you want your client to be comfortable and to enjoy the experience, because taking care of our skin is really important, and you don't want to turn them off of getting it done. If somebody is claustrophobic and they don't like the steam, then we'll work around it. When I have a young teenager that's coming in for their first facials, I don't want to scare them away from getting facials and make it a terrible experience. And I'll always go easier on my teen clients and be less aggressive with the extractions and stuff. So it was a good experience, and they want to come back and they want to keep taking care of their skin.
That's wonderful. So tell everybody how they can reach you.
Sure. The easiest way to reach me and to see more about my business or to make an appointment is at my website. It's theskinstudioencinitas.com. And my name is Claire Long. And if you have any questions, you can always email me through the website also.
And we will put that up on our blog so people can go to our blog and immediately kind of link in. We'll put a direct link so they can call you. And you use all natural products, correct?
I do. I have chosen about 14 years ago to go with a completely 100% organic product line for my back bar. And I use Eminence Organics. They're from Hungary. They have been very, very, very popular they've been around for over 50 years, but they've been number one in organic skincare, I think, for the last 5 or 6 years now. I chose them because we have busy and complicated lives, and we use a lot of products that have a lot of chemicals in them. My clients, some of them take a lot of medications, and all of these chemicals can interfere with the chemicals that are in skincare products. And so people would say a lot that they would break out after a facial, and you shouldn't break out after a facial. Your skin should be better after a facial. But a lot of times the products that they're using at home and the medications that they're putting in their body would interfere with these chemical-based products that you use in a facial. So when I chose to go all organic, I don't have to worry about that. You take that out of the equation, and it's all natural. So it's not going to react poorly with another chemical that you may be using at home.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here. You truly are... This is why I wanted to come and see you, because I come and see you every 3 weeks, and you truly are the best I've ever had, and I've had many facials.
I want to add to that I am so impressed and grateful for the preparation that you did in getting this together for us. I see pages and pages of notes that you went through in just preparing for our podcast, and we're truly honored about that. Claire Long.
Thank you.
You're
I appreciate
a professional.
It. Thanks. Thanks
come
so
and
much,
see her.
You
She's
guys.
The best. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you.
She is so knowledgeable, isn't she?
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
What a pleasure.
Yeah, a real pleasure. I learned a lot about the
Me too. And,
spray
you know,
tan.
I'm not a big skincare guy, but I'm sitting there wrapped in attention.
Yeah. Tanning beds, a spray tan. Yeah. I mean, I learned a lot.
All that.
So if you're local and you want to reach Claire Long, she has a company, her own company called The Skin Studio in Encinitas. And her phone number is 760-473-0555, 760-473-0555, or theskinstudioencinitas@gmail.com. But then again, you don't need to remember all this. We will have it on our blog, wrinklednotdead.com.
Perfection. Okay, time off. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Some fun stuff this week. We watched a movie. I honestly, it's called The Legend. It's from a movie from 2015, so it's relatively recent. And it stars our favorite guy right now, Tom Hardy. He plays two roles, gangster brothers, in this movie. And I'm not gonna go into this much because it is so compelling and fabulous. You just got to find it wherever you find it. Remember, The Legend, 2015, starring Tom Hardy.
It's actually just Legend.
Oh, it's just Legend, isn't
it? Yeah, know that. So it's Legend. L-E-G-E-N-D.
And look, forgive me.
Put in there Legend, Tom Hardy, and you're really going to enjoy it. It's a phenomenal movie. Very, very good. And he's really up and coming, man.
Yeah.
He's Oscar material. Well, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Revenant, wasn't it?
Yeah. But did not win for that one.
And he should have.
Yeah, it was very, very good. And I am reading a great book, you guys. It's called Sting. S-T-I-N-G, not to be confused with my favorite singer, Sting.
Oh, no. You'd run away and leave
me,
wouldn't
you? I'm sorry, but I would. But anyways, it's really good. It's sort of a murder mystery, kidnapping, intrigue. It's a real fun end of summer, beginning of fall read. And it's written by a best-selling author I think most of us know is Sandra Brown, mm-hmm. S-A-N-D-R-A Brown. And excellent read. A lot of fun.
Apropos of nothing.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
I get it this time. Always usually do apropos of nothing.
All right.
But I looked this one up just so we'd have some fun this time. Apropos of absolutely nothing. In the Space Administration, the USA, before they launch astronauts into space, always have a traditional, whatever time it is, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. But the tradition is, and everybody kind of knows it, steak and eggs. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they are digested so well. Almost completely, believe it or not.
Even so that's steak?
Steak. I thought it was hard to digest. Yeah. It's not. Steak and eggs. Okay, great. Traditional continues to this day. What do they do in Russia? They give them a 1 liter enema.
Well, you wonder, maybe it'd be better than the other. I don't even know if I'm going to touch any of this.
We'll move on.
However, I understand that the egg is a pure food, and that's easily digested, so probably because of the protein, and I'm thinking steak would be the same thing.
I think so, too.
I don't know.
I believe so as well. So you can find Wrinkled Not Dead, of course, on that's our blog, and we've been mentioning it quite a lot today, but we're kind of proud of the way it's kind of growing now, and we're doing other things on there. So WrinkledNotDead.com is your source for everything to do with Wrinkled Not Dead. Please share, subscribe for free. Ratings are definitely appreciated. Go to the iTunes Store or Podomatic on your device in the podcast app as well, if you have an iPhone.
Yeah, and if you have any questions for Claire or for Trish, both on skincare, they were both excellent. Just leave us an email, and we'll forward it on so they can answer any of your skincare questions. That's a hard one to
it
say.
Skincare questions. Okay. You can get that through wrinklednotdead@gmail.com. That's the email address.
Okay. I think I've got the best quote.
All right. You generally do. So
I think I do, but you be the choice.
I will be the
judge out there.
All right.
Okay. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Take the moment and make it perfect.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
No, I love you, but I hate you.
Can I repeat
every
it?
Every week it's the same.
Can I repeat it?
Again, and now mine comes as a lame excuse for a quote at the end of the show, and you have to pick it up again. Go ahead, say it one more time.
I know. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Take the moment and make it perfect.
Beautifully done. Okay. Mine's from Benjamin Franklin. Okay. This is on the occasion of history's first manned flights. That's nothing to do with aircraft or with space shuttles or anything like that. These are actually hot air balloons. In the 1780s, the Montgolfier brothers invented the hot air balloon. Someone asked Benjamin Franklin, "What's the use of some kind of frivolity like this?" And he said, "Well, what's the use of a newborn baby?"
Wow.
It's all in potential.
Isn't that neat?
Kind of cool.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today.
Episode 21.
And remember, we weren't born yesterday.